Remember, we began the piece on Kuf Lamed Hay with a medrash of a king who sent his son off to business. And the son was very nervous. What's going to happen when I go out to the world? Maybe the world will harm me, will be damaging to me. The father said, you have nothing to worry about. Take this stick. And he placed some type of amulet, some type of perhaps mystical note inside of the stick. And he said, you'll take this with you. You have nothing to be afraid of. So too, says the Medrash, it's a Medrash in Vayikra Rabba, so too, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, as long as you study Torah, you will be protected. How is a stick with some type of kameya, some type of amulet inside of it or attached to it, how does that correspond to studying Torah? So we began to explain last time, based on the very first piece of Likutei Maran, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter explained to us, that in Likutei Maran, the opening Torahs, Rabbi Nachman is trying to make sense of the very cryptic stories of Rava Bar Bar Chana in Maseches Bava Basra. So there's a story about Rava Bar Bar Chana was traveling on a boat. Nuchav, remember the Maisa? He's traveling on a boat, and he saw this huge wave rising up to sink his ship. Right? And he saw that on the tip of the wave, right, there was this white flame. And he took his stick, Rav Rachana grabbed his stick, and he struck back that white-tipped wave with his stick, and written on the stick, or carved into the stick, was what? Eke Asher Eke, the name of Hashem that is used to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Nachman explained, what's the idea of the stick, what's the idea of the names, Eke Asher Eke, which is the name of God on the stick. He explained that it represents Torah. The stick, which looks like the letter Vav, reminds us of the Luchos. And the dimensions of the Luchos, according to Chazal, were Vav by Vav. 6 by 6 Tfachim. And the names of Hashem, written on the stick, we know that the Torah from beginning to end is made up of names of Hashem. So in other words, he defeated this wave that was trying to drown his ship by using the Torah. So Yaakov Meir Shechter began to explain last time that the Yetzirah comes in two different ways. There's really two aspects here. There's the stick, and then there's the names written on the stick. Because the Yetzirah tries to destroy us in two different ways. There's the Yetzirah that causes us, and they're both rooted in craziness. Right? It's a ruach shtus, it's a craziness. Doing averos is crazy. It's irrational. But there's two different ways that we fall into the traps of the Yetzirah. Sometimes the Yetzirah makes us crazy, but at least we know we're crazy. In other words, we're doing something that we know is not good. But I can't resist the temptation. I feel subservient to my desire, to whatever it is. I know I shouldn't, but. Right? How often do we make decisions in life? I know I shouldn't, but. I shouldn't hang out with this chaver, but. They're old friends. I shouldn't do this activity, but, you know, it's not so bad. I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. I know I shouldn't say this, but. Right? That's like always the introductory, that's like the Hakdama to Lashon Hara. I know I shouldn't, but. So then don't. If you know you shouldn't, then don't. Okay, but there's a drive, there's a taiva to say it. There's a taiva to do it. That's one type of Yetzirah. The other type of Yetzirah is where a person has lost their mind to such a degree that they actually think that what they're saying makes sense. You know? Bechinas Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. They're saying things that don't make sense. I saw a clip the other day. A guy goes over to Elizabeth Warren and he says to her, he says, so you want to cancel people's debt. So I saved my money over the years so I'd be able to pay for my daughter's education. So am I going to get my money back? She's like, no, of course not. So he's like, uh-huh. So my friend who didn't act responsible and bought himself a nice car and went on fancy vacations and now has all this debt. So he did the wrong thing, so you're going to give him his money. But I, who was a responsible citizen and parent and human being, so I lose out. It's like a simple svar. It's like not so complicated. But a person can think like, oh, no, I have my own svars of how things ought to be or how things are. Right? And you think that you're doing a holy thing. You think that you're doing a great thing. You think you're helping people, right? So there's a certain type of craziness and sorry to be political, but there's a certain type of craziness, going back to the realm of Torah and mitzvos and avodas Hashem, there's a craziness where a person's doing averas and they think that they're actually doing something good. That they think that it's actually a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, you know, it's a mitzvah to, I don't know, to give mussar to, you know, to so-and-so. It's a mitzvah if you're doing it in the right way. If you're doing it in the wrong way, it's a huge avera. You're embarrassing the person. Right? Yeah, but no, I'm doing it l'shem shemayim. I'm gonna call this guy out in public and embarrass him. So you're a murderer. Right? I'm gonna stay up late learning Torah. But then you don't get up for davening the next day. So that's not a mitzvah. So the Yetzer Hara sometimes causes a tear of hadas, a certain bilbul hadas, that a person's way of thinking becomes so crooked and corrupted to the point that they don't even realize that what they're doing is wrong anymore. And that's very, very scary. So we spoke about two types of healing, right? And they represent, so to speak, the stick and the shemos of Hashem. We compared them, so to speak, to, let's call it, handcuffs and a prescription. Yeah? If a person is doing the wrong thing and they just need to be restrained, right? So the stick, so to speak, restrains the person. The stick is supposed to scare the person back into place. I know I'm doing the wrong thing. I know I shouldn't do this. If there's some type of pressure pushing back against me, I'll actually be able to not do it. Because I know I shouldn't do it. I don't want to do it. A person is addicted to drugs. So they put them into a facility for rehabilitation. Now the stick, so to speak, the restraint, stopping them from having access to the thing that's killing them, is helping them. Baruch Hashem, they're no longer able to access it. They're being held back, right? They're being restrained, and they're happy because I don't want to be a drug addict anymore. I want to set myself free from that addiction. And then there's a second type of person, right, who's so lost that they need shemos. That they need shemos. Shemos again representing the name of Hashem written on the stick. And that represents something that goes a little bit deeper. We compare it on a certain level to the prescription, right, that's being written by the doctor, which is going to allow a person not just to externally have an environment which controls them, right, but to, let's say, take a medicine that's going to heal them on the inside. It's almost a chitonius and a pnimis. But let's read on inside. Let's keep going weiter inside, and hopefully it'll continue to become more clear, because it's a very important piece. It's very true to our lives. Okay, we're in the middle of page Kuf Lamed Zayin. The two drachim of the Yetzer Hara. Va'al derech ze mamish heim darchei Yetzer Hara, u'memeila zekukim la'osan trufos mamish. So if these are mamish, the two techniques that the Yetzer Hara uses against us, so therefore we're zakuk, we need these trufos, we need these medicines, mamish. We mamish need to follow the recipe for spiritual healing, if this is the technique by which the Yetzer Hara tries to damage us. Dinei ha-Yetzer Hara rotza lasos sa'adam mishuga mamish. Because the Yetzer Hara wants to make us mishuga. The Yetzer Hara wants to make us crazy and irrational. Kedivir Rabbeinu Sham, like Rabbi Nachman is describing in that first piece of Likutei Moharan. V'gam kan yeshlan shnei ofanim v'nizkar le'el. Yeshem mesis es ha'adam. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara is mesis. What does mesis mean? Seduces. The Yetzer Hara seduces a person. Sheyachpotz la'asos es harachas v'shalom. That he should yachpotz, that he should desire to do that which is evil. Va'afal pi shehu atzmo yodea ku osavera. I know this is not the right thing to do. I know it. U'mashchus es nafsho. I know it's spiritually destructive. Im kol zeh magvir ha'yetzer alav es ha'tayva. Achakasha lo li natzel miyada. But the Yetzer Hara inflames, incites that taiva. He's magbir. He strengthens that taiva to the point that I feel like I can't escape it. I can't say no. And everyone's been in that type of situation at some point in their life. So we need that stick to get the person back into place. What does the stick represent? If a person's going to, you know, a person's going to do this illegal activity, and then he sees the police officer coming in his direction, so that's enough to talk him out of it. He knew it was wrong before he started. What happened when he saw the police officer? Now he got scared. So the stick represents some type of intimidation that scares you away from doing the thing which you know already is bad. You know it's wrong. But if nothing stops me, I can't, you know, my Yetzer Hara has convinced me to do it, even though I know it's not good. But As opposed to this, there's another approach, al derech ofen hasheni, hanizkor la'el, the second way that we described. Yesh ha-yetzahara mislabish atzmo b'mitzvos. Sometimes the yetzahara comes, again, in the guise, in the levush of a mitzvah. Hainu shema'akem es daito lagamri, that a person's mind becomes ma'akem, so crooked, so corrupted. You think you're doing a holy thing. Shemar lo asavera kilu mitzvah. That it displays an avera as if it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah kilu avera. And a mitzvah becomes an avera. Bris milah becomes barbaric, but abortion becomes heroic. How's that for an example? No? Bris milah is barbaric, but killing a baby is heroic. Okay. So that's olam hafalcher, you see. Right? And by the way, it's what the Torah describes at the end of the Chumash. It says there's going to be a generation at the end of time. It's talking about Klal Yisrael, but even more so by the nations of the world. The whole world is going to be what the Torah calls Dor Ikesh, Ufisal Tol, a crooked and corrupted and twisted, a twisted world. Mamash, a confused, backwards world. Again, that Gemara I mentioned the other day in Pesachim Daf Nun. Olam Hafachar Yisi. Right? Someone had an out-of-body experience. He came back and they said to him, "Nu, what'd you see?" He said, "I saw an upside-down world." So they said, no, that world that you caught a glimpse of, that world's got its head on straight. Olam Bavaris, you saw a refined world. You saw a world that was clear. This world is the confused world. This world is the upside-down world. Omar lo panim shel heter. The Yitzhara says, "Yeah, no, this is mutter given the circumstances. This is mutter for you. Uma'akim es darito v'soser es binaso. It corrupts your mind. It contradicts your bina, your understanding of things, to the point that you actually think there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. There's nothing damaging to my way of thinking. In fact, it's very proper. It's progressive. And all of my ways are, this is the straight way. This is the proper way. Right? It all appears to me to be yashar, straight, good. Vatsara shava shebeshtei drachim elu. And the bottom line is that both of these Yetzirahs, both these techniques of the Yetzirah, the common denominator is that it causes a person to err and it causes a person to be removed from his own das and from das kono and from the thinking of his creator. It ends up moving us away from Hashem, period. That's the bottom line. That's the Yetzirah's goal. That's his job. Ukalashan Rabbeinu Anizkol El, like Rabbi Nachman again said, Sheyitzahara rotza lasa sa'adam meshuga mamish chas v'shal. Yitzahara is working to make us crazy. Ki ba'al avera hu meshuga. Because a person who does an avera is mishuga. It's irrational. It's against the very teva of a person. If a person stuck their hand into a fire, we would say, what's wrong with this person? It's damaging. You're going to kill yourself, right? You put your hand in the fire, you destroy your hand. If a person would have some reason why he'd be willing to do that, for some amount of money or something like that, we'd say, crazy, the guy's nuts. The hand is a priceless gift. You can't destroy it for any amount of money in the world. You're a crazy person. So when we do things that are spiritually damaging, if we don't put tefillin on our arm, we're spiritually damaging our arm, we're crazy. Your arm is programmed to wear tefillin. That's crazy not to put on tefillin. It's irrational. It's mishuga. You've lost contact with yourself and with your creator. Kamosha amru chazal, haynu b'shnei ufanei shigon. So chevra, so what's the defense? How do we fight back? And now we come back, we come full circle. Bottom line on page Kuf Lamed Zayin. Ha'eitza yu'utza l'chol zeh. Again, it's a two-pronged response, but it's rooted in one concept, and that is ha'eitza yu'utza l'chol zeh. The advice that Rabbi Nachman has for us, the advice that Hashem has for us. Klomer l'shnei ufani hayetzer. Like the Gemara says, I made a Yetzirah and I made Torah as the antidote. Turn the page. The response, the answer to all of these problems, hi ha-Torah ha-Kedosha. Hi ha-Torah ha-Kedosha. Is Torah. Torah actually straightens out our minds. Torah is objective truth, not a subjective truth that's constantly changing. Because in Torah we find an orach, we find a path, a wondrous path, that will lead us to what? to these two forms of healing. Ukafi shemesayim rabbeinu, like Rabbi Nachman explained, again going back to the Gemara in Bava Basra, umachina leba alvasa dechokik alei eka asher eka. We struck, we fought the Yetzirah, we defeated that wave that was sinking the ship. Every one of us is a ship. We're on an ocean called life. We're trying to navigate our way through. Our neshama in our body is captain of the ship. It's very much the mashal, say for Yonah. Yonah, of course, was a historical person, but it's also a mashal for the neshama's way through this mission. Gemara, it says, the Rabbi Rechana says, I was able to fight off the wave with a stick that was etched into it, Eka Asher Eka. Shemakim oso b'makel shechoret alav shemus. A stick that has the names of Hashem etched into it. What does that mean? Hainu, fourth line. Shebetorah kadosh nimtzam segulo shnei hakochos. The Torah has these two methods of defending ourselves. On the one hand, it has the makel, it has the stick. Makalos haluchos archan vav v'rachvan vav tzuras makel. Again, we said a stick looks like the letter vav, a staff looks like the letter vav, which reminds us of the luchos, which were vav by vav. The dimensions of the luchos were 6 by 6. Shemos haTorah kula hishemosav shalakadosh baruch hu. Shemos, the names of God. The whole Torah is the name of God. Right? The source for making birchas haTorah, the biblical source, the Gemara says, for reciting birchas haTorah, is kishem Hashem ekra havu godel elokein. Brachos daf chafav. Kishem Hashem Ekra. When you invoke the name, when you use the name of God, give praise to Hashem. What do you mean? Like, why is learning Torah? Why is learning Parshas Noach called invoking the name of God? Because the whole Torah is made up of shemos of Hashem. And through this connection to Torah, we're machnia. We subdue these two forms of Yetzahara. The Torah can be like a staff in your hand. The Torah can be a weapon that's used in self-defense. We all know this to be true. When we have strong days of learning Torah and the Yitzhara tries to get us, we feel that we can fight back. I feel that I have a weapon to fight back. I have Torah. I have a stick. I can defend myself. Lakos ulachnio lashpilo, to strike the Yetzirah, to subdue the Yetzirah, to humble the Yetzirah. Va'ilu k'negeda ofan abeis shel Yetzirah. And what happens if I don't have the strength of the Torah, the stick of the Torah, so to speak? Yesh la Torah koach hasegula shel shemos. The Torah also has, right, a mystical component to it. We read the Torah, it has stories, it has mitzvos. But on a deeper level, the whole thing is just names of Hashem. And therefore it has a certain mystical component of what? Liyashiv ulasadr asamalach ha'adam ulavriach imenu asitra achra hamibalbelas umakemas asamalach. The stick, so to speak, represents a certain ability to respond. Right? A practical response. The shemos aspect of Torah represents a mystical aspect of Torah. It's as if a person who sits and just reads the words of the Torah without even understanding what they're saying is transformed by it. Torah's Hashem Tamima, Mishilas Nafesh. Hashem's Torah is perfect, it's complete, it restores the soul. In a way that transcends logic or rationale. It's shemos, it's mystical, it's a segula. The Torah is able to restore my spirit, to restore my mind, to save me from falling into the traps of the Yitzhara. The Yitzhara can't deceive me anymore. That at least I know I'm being tricked. Again, when I fall into level 2, it means I've lost, I don't even realize when I'm being tricked. When I reconnect to Torah, at least now I start to realize, wow, maybe my life is a lie. Right? Again, I don't have it all worked out, and I don't have the strength to be able to fight the Yetzirah, but at least I know, hold on a second, it's not on my team. It's the world was presenting itself as trying to help me, and it's really not helping me. At least now I know that. Now that I've studied Torah, at least I know that. And now we come back to the Medrash that we started with. Because again, what Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter is doing here in this amazing piece is he's connecting a Medrash in Vayikra Rabba that we started with the king who was sending his son on business to this amazing and wacky Gemara in Bava Basra about the wave with the flame at its tip trying to sink the boat, and how Rabbi Nachman explained it. And now we can really understand. Now we can understand the Medrash. Because again, the Medrash doesn't make a lot of sense. Go back to the Medrash again. What was the Medrash? A father, a king, is sending his son on business. And the kid is nervous. So he says, take this stick, and he attaches a kameya, he attaches some type of amulet to it, and he says, this will protect you. So too, Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, make sure that if you're scared of the world, learn Torah. Well, where's the learning Torah here? But based on Rabbi Nachman's explanation of the stick with the name on it in the Gemara Bava Basra, now we understand exactly what the Medrash is saying. Biur Divrei HaMedrash, the middle of page Kof Lamed Ches. Uvezei Yisbar LaHafli Divrei HaMedrash. Now we can understand the Medrash in a wondrous way. Hein Bebechinas HaMashal, Hein Bebechinas HaNimshal. Now we understand the Mashal of the Medrash. Now we understand the Nimshal of the Medrash. Ba'amru Misyare Anim and Alistim. When the son said to his father, I'm worried about the robbers. Hainu Shnei Suge Halistim. Two types of robbers. And that's why he gave him a stick with an amulet. Halistim Hanirim Bigaloi. There are listim. There are the robbers that you could see. You're walking down the street and you see someone's coming to attack you. Habam Alav B'Koach. They're coming at you with their weapons drawn. V'yadeh Shein Rotum La'asoso Umlal. And you know, right? And you know that this bully, when I pass that kid in the hall, you know, who beats up the little guy in the class, yeah, when he walks past the bully, he's afraid, he's scared, he sees that he's trying to harm him, he's trying to make him umlal. You recognize the word umlal? We say it every day in Tachlan. Weak or feeble, afraid, intimidated. And he knows, Shaloh Ye'ef Shaloh Lizgaber Aleim. It's the Yitzhar that comes to you, it's much bigger than you, it's much stronger than you, and you feel that there's nothing I can do. Right? This kid knows he's about to get shoved into the locker. There's nothing he can do to defend himself. His enemy's bigger than him. Alzeh Nasan Lo Makel Miuchad Lizgaber Aleim. Right? But if the little kid decides he's had enough and he comes to school with a baseball bat, yeah, maybe the bully won't shove him that time. He sees he's walking down low with the baseball bat. Lishborbo is Roshim. He's ready to fight. It changes things up. That's one type of enemy. That's the Yitzhahara that we know is trying to get us, and we have to be prepared to fight back. But then there's, of course, the Listim Ruchanim. There's the spiritual enemies, so to speak. Habam Labalbla is Daito. Lishageoso. There's those things which try to what? In a much more insidious way, penetrate and infiltrate one's mind. And to fight against such a force, something which is not, again, a physical enemy, but something that tries to corrupt one's thinking, such a thing needs a different type of shmira, a spiritual shmira. And that's why the king gave his son that little piece of parchment that said who knows what on it, some mystical name of God or something like that. L'shamro b'zem min aruchos ra'os from Azikin. To protect it from spiritual harm. Va'animshol shnei sugei yitzhar anizkar el hayitzhar ha'alef shabai lo bigaloi la'asiso b'dvar averach manal etzan. Again, the nimshol is very obvious, as we've explained. He's going to repeat it one last time, but the nimshol is clear to us. There's the yitzhara that is evident. He's trying to get us to sin. The yitzhara is trying to get me to do something bad, and I know it's bad. And then there's the yitzhara ha'beiz sha'orev alav. There's the yitzhara who lies in ambush, who again is much more sneaky. Ubala ba'akifin, he comes in a roundabout way. Bislabshuso b'mitzvos, he comes dressed up with mitzvos. And therefore the father gave his son these two weapons in order to fight back. He has the stick, Hashem owes la'amo yitain, the weapon to defend oneself. And Hashem gave us the mystical component of the Torah, the shemos, right? So to speak, the prescription. Just take your daily dose of Torah and you'll be a healthier person. Even if, I don't understand, how will learning Bava Basra help me to have, you know, to be a more moral person in terms of applying it to the real world? How is learning Zvachim about Karbanos going to help me, right, to be more moral in my business practices? And the answer is it will, because there's a mystical component to Torah. The same way the Yitzhahara comes in a sneaky way, so you can sneak some Ruchnias back at him. And it works. Barasi Yetzer Tahara, Barasi La Torah Tavlin. I made a Yetzahara. Hashem says, I made Torah as the Tavlin, as the spice, as the antidote, as the medicine to be able to fight the Yetzahara. Okay? Let's just end today. Turn the page. I'm going to jump ahead to Kuf Lamed Tes. And let's just end today with one more point, one more new point. Middle of the page. Uva'oso ha'inyan. Let's understand a little bit more about the Yetzahara. Shemati me'anshe shlomenu ki echad me'advarim she'yetzahara mislavish bo b'mitzvah hu itzavon haruach. Underline those two words. One of the ways that the Yetzahara tries to disguise himself and convince you that he's saying something which is holy and is pure and is important and is honest but is really a way to destroy you is that he comes with a certain itzvon ruach. What is an itzvon ruach? A certain sadness and a depression. Right? Where the Yetzirah tells you, and you could try to make it into like an avodah, I should be learning more, I should be davening more. Now, there's a way to say that that's healthy, and there's a way to say that that's extremely unhealthy. There's a way to deal with your averos in a healthy way, and there's a way to look your averos in the face and become utterly depressed and feel like a failure and a loser. But the Yetzirah is very good sometimes of making the tshuva process, which is supposed to be a joyous process of coming back to Hashem, very heavy, very depressing. I was learning a piece on Shabbos with my brother in Likutei Moran, where Rinachman was describing, and my brother said it very well, that when a person is properly aligned with Torah and mitzvos, mitzvos are fun, mitzvos are light. When a person is not understanding Torah and mitzvot and a relationship with Hashem properly, it becomes so heavy. Mikoytzer ruach me'avoda kasha. We were learning a piece in Likutei Moran that connects to these past parshios. Right? The heaviness, the weightiness of avodas Hashem, the burden of avodas Hashem. Right? The feeling that when I put on my tefillin, it's so painful, it's so schleppy, it's so restrictive. As opposed to, wow, my tefillin is going to open my heart and open my mind to think clearly and to feel properly. Right? So the Yetzirah sometimes uses sadness, which could be disguised as something very holy, right? Cheshbon ha-nefesh, in a way that causes a person to fall apart. It's one of the most dangerous techniques the Yetzirah uses against us to convince you that your mitzvahs aren't good enough. And again, we should always be striving to make our mitzvahs better. We should always be striving to learn Torah better. We should be striving to daven better. Right? But how do I do that in a healthy way that it doesn't become depressing? Yetzirah tries to put all sorts of sadness and depression into a person. That feeling of unworthiness. I'm not worthy of doing mitzvos. Who am I? After the things I've done, who am I to get up in the morning and put on my tefillin? Who am I to learn Hashem's Torah? Who am I? Right? I feel disgusting, unworthy. I told you guys once, those who've been here for a while, I heard directly from Rav Avram Shor Shlita. He said that when a person thinks that having an avera, this is a very psychological technique to convince yourself of your own worthiness. He said a person sometimes has an avera and feels like, because I did this avera, so now I can't, do this mitzvah. I feel like a hypocrite. Right? So first of all, be a hypocrite. I'll give you permission to be a hypocrite. But Rav Avram Shor said, what happens? Right? A person did something and now they feel like, my body is tamei. I can't even put tefillin on this body. This body doesn't deserve to wear tefillin. I'm unworthy of wearing tefillin. Right? So Rav Avram Shor said, if you think about it for half a second, when are we ever worthy of wearing tefillin? No? Meaning on my best day, then am I worthy of wearing tefillin? Still not really, if I really think about it. It's a chutzpah. Tefillin. Holy tefillin are. Unbelievably holy tefillin. We're never worthy of tefillin. So how different is it on my best day and my worst day? I'm still not worthy of wearing tefillin. Why do I wear tefillin on my best day? Because it's a mitzvah. Why do I wear tefillin on my worst day? Because it's a mitzvah, because God said I'm supposed to. It's not about worthiness. Don't let the Yetzirah psych you out like that. Based on the way I've been behaving, I don't, I feel fake, I feel I feel phony. Be a hypocrite. Don't let the Yitzhahara convince you you're unworthy. It's his way of just getting you to fall apart and to move further away from Hashem. He says here in the fifth line, Va'adam ibli das nofel berishto. A person without realizing it is falling into the trap of the Yitzhahara. B'choshu shemachshavos elu mekorim b'yitzhar tov. He thinks that these are holy thoughts. I'm just being honest. I'm just being real. I'm holding myself to a standard that after this Aveira, I don't deserve to learn Torah. I don't deserve to do mitzvos. There's no such thing. A Jew is worthy because you're a Jew. As Rebbetzin Machlis used to tell, Alei HaShalom used to tell her children, a Jew's worthiness is simply the fact that Hashem has given you a neshama. So you tell your children in terms of their professional development and schooling, if you want to get a degree, shkoyach, go for it. But you're not worthy because you're a doctor or you're a this or you're a that. That's not your worthiness. You're worthy because Hashem has given you a neshama and has made you one of His children, period. Regardless of your behavior, good or bad. So the Yitzhahara convinces you, no, you're not worthy. And it could stem from a place where you think you're just, I'm being honest, I'm being real. And all of the worrying about my averos, humidarche atshuva. And he doesn't realize that his whole notion, his whole conception of tshuva is corrupted, is off. No, it's not what it's about. Tshuva is supposed to lift the weight off your shoulders, not make you feel more broken. Tshuva is supposed to set you free, to restore your soul. Right? Tshuva is not supposed to be a heavy process. You have to be honest, you have to be real. But it's a simcha tshuva. It's a mitzvah that has to be done b'simcha. And this is why Rabbi Nachman always spoke so much about simcha, the importance of being b'simcha. Because sadness is one of the greatest techniques the Yitzhahara uses against us. V'chol zeh mevuar b'divrei Rabbeinu b'Lakutei Maran, Rabbi Nachman explains in Lakutei Maran, Kuf Pei Tes, on the pasuk, v'nachash afar lachmo. The nachash afar lachmo. Dirt is its bread. Afar is its sustenance. Chavra, what is asfar? Rabbi Nachman explains in a deep way. It's not just that the curse of the snake is that it crawls around on its stomach and eats dirt. It sustains itself. In other words, the way that it provides for itself, the way that the nachash, the Yitzhahara, lives on is through afar. What is afar? Ki ikar yenikas hanachash hu al yedei atzvus va'atzlus sheim boim yesod ha'afar. We know that there are four elements that make up reality. The four elements of this world. There's Eish, there's Ruach, there's Afar, and there's Mayim. There's fire, there's wind, there's earth, and there's water. And each one of them corresponds to a different type of Yitzhahara. Explains Rabbi Nachman, V'nachash Afar Lachmo, the main lechem, the main sustenance, listen carefully, the main sustenance of the Nachash, of the Yitzhahara, is Afar. What do each of them represent? Let's go one by one. What does Eish represent? Eish is passion, right? Eish is anger. Usually, if you look in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, Eish is associated with anger and gaiva, right? Which go hand in hand. A Baal gaiva, right, holds himself to a high standard. A flame is always trying to leap higher. And a person who's haughty, it's the type of person who gets angry at other people. You talk to me like that? Who are you to talk to me like that? Who are you to do that to me? Well, who do you think you are? You're the same dust that I'm made up of. Right? But a Baal Gaiva has a tendency towards anger. What does Mayim represent? Mayim is Taiva. Mayim is Taiva because the same way that water allows for things to grow, obviously, taiva, specifically sexual desire, right, is what allows the world to be populated, allows things to continue. The mabul, in many ways, was a response to the perverse sexual norms that existed in the times of Noah. Yeah?
What do you think that fire would also be?
Yeah, passion. You think the passion of fire. Yeah, there may be some overlap. You may find different ideas in different spheres. That's true. There's no question. Asia is definitely sometimes associated with sexual desire. Okay, what about ruach? There's wind. Right, idle speech. right? Wind, the breath of air, right? It comes with leitzanus, and it comes with lashon hara, idle speech. Yeah, what's afar? Like a clump of dirt, right? Like dirt that just sits in its place. Yeah, it represents laziness and sadness. A depressed person who can't get out of bed. They feel heavy. They feel like a rock or like a clot of dirt. So says the pasuk in Yeshaya, says the Navi Yeshaya, v'nachash afar lachvo. Yes, the Yitzhahara will get you through all sorts of silly speech and through taiva and through gaiva, right? But when the Yitzhahara can make you sad and depressed, it shuts down the whole system. That laziness, that heaviness. Ki ikur yenikas hanachash. Again, says Rabbi Nachman, the primary way the nachash draws its sustenance and it feeds off of you. Al yidei atzvos, sadness, va'atzlos, and laziness. Shein ba'im mi yisod ha'afar. It comes from that yisod, from that element of dirt. Right? Klomer, shimachshavos eilu shal atzlos va'atzvos. Mayhem ba'ikur yenikas hanachash. As the Yitzhahara is saying, you miss the day of Shir, you're not worthy to come the next day. Next thing you know, you miss 3 months of Shir. Well, that was a stupid cheshvan. That wasn't a good trade. I see, you missed the day of Shir. So say, okay, yeah, I shouldn't have missed the day of Shir, but I did. Okay, good. So tomorrow I go back to Shir. And I work harder to get back into the sugya. Instead of saying, no, you know, maybe I'm not serious, maybe not, maybe my Rebbe's angry at me, maybe my Chavrusha's angry at me. That's falling into the trap of the Yitzhahara Lagamri, says Rabbi Nachman. Right, this is the primary thing that he uses against us. Five lines from the bottom. Valpiza Efshar Lafarish is a pasuk. And with this we can understand the words of King David himself. David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Ki chalu biyagon chayai. What does kalu mean? We mentioned it the other day when we were learning Degamach and Ephraim. To destroy, right. Ki kalu biyagon chayai. That with yagon, right? Yagon va'anacha. With worry, and with sighing, with krechsing, ki kalu biyagon chayai. The way he's reading it is that my life becomes what? Destroyed through my yagon. Ushnosai ba'anacha. By sighing, by feeling bad for myself. I waste years. Sha yagon va'atzos mechalus seschayim. It destroys my life. Stop feeling bad for yourself. Stop feeling unworthy. Stop convincing yourself it's, no. Just do mitzvah because it's a mitzvah to do a mitzvah. Hashem said so. Stop with the cheshbonos. It's all the Yitzhar getting into your head. That's why he's talking about this. Because that's what we're talking about. A Yitzhar that makes you crazy. This is a form of craziness. And it can seem very holy. It seems, I have to be fair, I have to be honest. No, just do what a Jew is supposed to do. You're always worthy of being a Yid. Because the essence of life is being close to Hashem. And when the Yitzhar gets in your head, the bottom line is you move farther and farther away from Hashem. V'lachain, in conclusion, bottom line of the page. V'lachain ala adam laharchik atzma v'midah maguna zu shal atzmas. So get very far away from sadness. As Rav Aaron of Karlin used to say, more than the Yitzhar wants you to do an Avera, the Yitzhar wants you to become depressed after doing an Avera. Because with the sadness, that's what the Yitzhar really wants. If he can get you sad, he'll destroy you. And again, unfortunately, it happens. Shalo rak she'inu mitzad Yitzhar atov. Not only is this not coming from a good place, but in fact it's coming from the bite of the snake, Rahmana l'Islam. And therefore we have to work very, very hard, again, to not fall into this mental trap of the Yitzhahara. It's one of the ways that he makes us crazy. You're crazy to think that on your best day you deserve to put on tefillin. So you're also crazy to think on your worst day you're not worthy to put on tefillin. You're never worthy to put on tefillin. We never deserve to study Torah. But Hashem gave us the Torah because He's nice, so we should learn it and we should do it. We shouldn't get in our own way. We should get out of our own way. Don't get caught in your own head. Okay, let's hear a couple comments. We'll stop here. Yeah.
This is more tied to the previous thing that we talked about. This one is still advice.
Okay.
In recent UN, we discussed the difference between Oslo and Zion.
Okay.
They're both aligned coming down from the root. But one of them comes down from the point where a yud would normally start to extend itself, which is the Ozav, and that's how Hashem normally comes into the world, in like a normal manner.
Okay.
The Zion is that when instead of the yud coming down from the normal way it would trickle down into reality, it comes down straight from the center of the yud.
Okay.
And it's just a much different way of experiencing Hashem in reality. And though Zion also is, says that it's where the clay Zion